You know, oftentimes we have moments like these where it's like heaven just opens up and we just go with it. So maybe it's new for you, maybe it's weird for you, maybe it's too loud, maybe it's too soft. But either way, I can promise you this on this day, it's the Spirit of God. That's it. It's not maybe what we want, but I tell you, when God moves, we don't ask no questions in this church. We go with. So I praise Him for each and every person who serves in this place. You rocking up, Him speaking into all of our lives and every Sunday as we meet. But with that said, I want you to get your phones out, your iPads, your Bibles. Can you tell someone quickly two? Can you say two? Twee. Kijk gewoon naar iemand en zeg twee. No, like an English-speaking person. Twee. All right. So we're going to run through the twos in this morning. We've got Psalm 2, so make a note. We've got Luke 2, and we've got Matthew 2. So it's the thrice twice. You get that? All right, so we're going to run through some stories. But in this day, we are heading towards Christmas. Now, if you, like me, walk through Game, and that's my thing every year, I wait for Game when I walk in there to bring out the Christmas trees and decorations. It's like they just in the front. Hulle is altyd eerste met Kersfeesding. I don't know if you've seen that, but it is what it is. So I've seen it about 3 weeks ago. I saw them taking out Christmas trees and decorations. So we are heading towards Christmas. So as I walked through that, some questions popped up. And I want to just throw this question at you in this morning. And here it is, if you're ready, all right, receive this question. What is Christmas about? Waaroor gaan Kersfees? All right, can you answer that? Yeah? No? Are you going like, yeah, McDonald's? No. You see, this question popped up in my heart recently, where I'm like, what is Christmas about? And if you like me and Jock, and you grew up in church, het ons maas en paas ons geslaan na seker antwoorde toe. You know, there's no negotiation that you were just beaten that it is about Jesus. That's how we grew up. That's your response. But maybe you grew up differently. It's about the tree. Maybe it's about the presents. Maybe it's about the scarboat. Who can say amen on that? Hallelujah, Here. Gebakte aartappels, pompoenkoekies. See, my poor wife, when we just met, bless her soul, man. I'm that guy, I'm like, you don't understand Christmas and the Duplessis. Every meat you can think of, we have. Every little bit of food you can think of, we need. Otherwise, we will die on Christmas Day. So she went for it. Ek praat van 4 vleise, 3 reise, 8 verskillende pampoene. She went for it and eventually it sy nie die ou wat geëet het nie, you know. So, the first date, Christmas, my vrou, well done, hoor. She did well that day. But that was the last as well, so don't clap. All right, no praise needed today, unless you invite us this year. But you see, Christmas for certain people are different and different things. Sien, jou Kersfees en my Kersfees, ek weet, Sandrie se Kersfees is swem en wartelmoen, and it's that kind of Christmas. En as jy op uitreik in kampe was op Kersfees, dan was het karavane en tente, en amal eet saam. You know, dis gammon links en rechts for 5 dae. You just gammon all the way met lekker mosterd. That is it. So Christmas differs for people. But this one question remained in my heart, like, what is Christmas about? Without going cliche. You see, then I pondered this. Have you ever realized that Christmas is about a baby shower? Fell into my heart. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I'm going mad. Then I'm like, well, it's about a birth as well. And then it eventually ended with a celebration. You see, there's a time in the Word of God where the messianic verses were spoken and written. Now, let me explain that. It is Scripture given by God Himself to people to write down or translate into different translations and tell it to other people so they share the word. And those scriptures spoke of a day coming. So back in the day, people told people that guess what? There's a day that is ahead where a Messiah will be born. Now, have you seen ladies these days? You know, they've got a desire within their hearts to be a mother. Come on, ladies. Don't lie. I know you might have 3 kids now and you go like, what the heck? Wat het ek gedink? But somewhere in your life, you had a desire to become a mom. That's all you want. I'll leave my job. I will sell my car. I just want to be a mom. You see, back in the day, ladies had that same desire. Why? You created like that. We are created. I, as a pastor at a time in life, het geglo dis die groot opdrag, gaan uit en vermeerder. It is not. All right? But you see, moms want to be moms. So back in the day, in the scripture, there was written and there was shared that one day a son and a boy, a male child, will be born and he will be a Messiah. What happens in this day when someone finds out they're pregnant? Makiti. Yeah. Alipat. You arrange baby showers left and right. Why? It's nappies, it's biki baby liners, it's baby oil, oh, it's toys, it's clothing, baby showers. And there's a party and ons koek en tee and games and al die tannies gegil. Baby showers. You see, back in the Bible times, there was this type of message that was the same as a baby shower message. It's a message of an expectation. Because you see, a baby shower is exactly that. It is an expectation for something still coming. You don't have the baby by the time you have your baby shower. You have the baby shower because you expect the birth of the baby. You see, the messianic verses, the prophecies spoken through Moses and many others were that there will come a day where the Messiah will be born, this baby boy. So for many years, people prepared their hearts like with a baby shower. They prepared their lifestyles like with a baby shower. Because they knew that everything will change in the moment the birth takes place. You see, there's this one scripture, and I want you to read it with me. You see, Numbers 24 says this in verse 17. I see him, and then guess what? Not now. Have you ever seen the moms and kyk on all the pensies and gaan hulle? You see and experience something you haven't seen yet, but it's real now. Here's Moses. He's saying the same thing. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not here. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the sons of Seth. In verse 19, a ruler will come out of Jacob and destroy the survivors of the city. You see, this is a scripture that is, I want to say, written by Moses as a Mosaic scripture, as a prophecy of something still to come. That's a baby shower, man. But you see, here's a young girl, you know the story, a teenager as such, not a young woman, a teenager. She grew up as a normal human being, not really rich, living in the valleys of Galilee, just doing a thing. But you see, she's a descendant of this very Jacob generation. She's a descendant of the great King David. So through her genes, through her family, she got taught in the Torah, the scriptures of that day. Now, what did they teach this young lady? They taught this teenage girl that there's a Messiah that will be born one day soon. There's prophecy that the Savior will come into this world as a baby boy. He will be born. Now, here's the thing about this little teenage girl called Mary. I believe in my whole heart, she also had this expectation to be a mother. Maybe one day it's like, yes, I want to be a mom. Then you go to Sparta in Egypt and then see hoe die kinders huil. Then you go, no, 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 I don't want no kids, no. But then what happens? She checks out Camel Book and then she gets there and she's like, oh, kyk hierdie mooi baba, and then she wants babies. I believe that she had that desire to be a mother. But you see, through this teaching of the Messiah coming, her knowing the scriptures of the promises still ahead, she knowing that in the spirit, in her heart, there's a baby shower preparation going on currently, in that moment, I also believe that she might have gone, Lord, someone needs to give birth to this Messiah. Maybe it's me. She might have gone there. We don't know. But you see, then this whole story plays out And you know the story in Luke and Matthew. You know it in the Gospels. But you see, there's a time and a place where some people got invited to this very baby shower. You see, angels showed up to this teenage girl called Mary, and the angel said, "Do not fear," but the Bible says she was troubled by the message. So in her heart and being wanting to be a mom, she almost went like, "Is this real? Can this be me? Is this real? Is this really an angel speaking to me?" And that moment overwhelmed her as a normal woman. But being taught, being prepared for the baby shower moment, the birth around the corner, in that she also believed in faith that what is being said will happen. So have you seen the new gender reveals? Some lady with a balloon, I'm all excited. They take a pin or something and they pop the balloon. Then it's either blue or pink or both. If it's both, you'll see the guy passing out in the corner normally. But gender reveals. In Luke and in Matthew, you will find in chapter 2 that she's got one up on everyone in this whole world. When angels came to announce the gender and the pregnancy. What a pregnancy test. When angels show up and say, "Listen, you will have a son. You will fall pregnant. You will be with child," the word says. That was her gender reveal when they said, "And it will be a son." Now get this. Back in the day, men did not talk to women. It was almost a taboo. Yet angels showed up to speak to her and say, "You have favor with God. And because you have favor with God, you will have a son." Now, when you have a son back in the day, it means the bloodline will keep on going. It means that the bloodline will almost bring status into her life as a mom and as a woman. She will live through her son, is what it means. So here's this Maria, Mary. Here she is. Okay, get this. And I womblet. It's Maria. Angels show up. Guess why? She was so pure of heart. So was so rein that she was a virgin. She was so humble that God said, "I choose you and you have favor." Even then, she stood back and said, "I'm almost shocked. I cannot believe this. Are you sure, God? It's me," if you read the story. And the angel said, "It's the second time that you have favor. God chose you." Here's this teenage girl in that moment of a gender reveal, of a pregnancy test given by angels. She's, "But I'm a virgin." And they like, "Exactly. That's why it's you." So there's Joseph, of verloofde, and he's all confused like men are. Ek swanger. He's that guy. Because they're not married and people will think it's his child. And here's the thing. God steps in and go like, "Don't be stressed, Joseph. Marry her. Take her as your wife, for she's already your wife." And they will get married. See, God steps in not through angels, but also speaking into their lives. Why? Because they kept pure. They kept holy in that presence of God, but they also remembered the baby shower preparation of many years of this messianic verses spoken of someday, somewhere, it's going to happen. So here's the thing, and I want to read it to you. You see, a birth took place in this very word of God. If you want to go to Luke 2, let's start there. If you can go to Luke 2. You see, the story kicks off like this in verse 26. "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David and Jacob. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.'" Verse 29. "Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be." Verse 30. "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, you will have favor with God.'" Verse 31. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Then verse 38, and you need to get this. A lot of people go like, but if she's a virgin, how did it happen? How did God force himself onto this teenage girl to just fall pregnant? It's not that. You see, God sent the angels with a message. And then you need to see in verse 38 what she responds. She says, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. And then, guess what? Then the angel left her. Only then. See, she was never forced. She was never almost pushed into this moment where she had to. At the end of this whole message, a moment, the baby shower moment, the birth announcement moment, in that moment she had a decision to say yes or no. And she said, I am the servant. Let it be as you spoke. Let it be me. Thank you, Lord. And only then did the angel leave her presence. Never was it forced. God is not a God that forces. He's a gentleman. He leads softly and in love. But you see, in this moment, after this message, we see that Mary fell pregnant and then she had Jesus. Have you ever read the story about Jesus' birth? You see, in the Word of God, we see that God sent the same angels to the wise men, the Skabwachters. And also, guess what? They were invited to a baby shower that's going to take place. And the angel said, you better go too. That's an invitation. And go check it out. There's a baby that's going to be born. He's going to be called the Savior, the Messiah. So they were invited, not typical men. You see, in Luke and in Matthew, it differs. The angels told their wise men that they are invited to this moment. And when they get there, they will see a baby in a manger and in a crib. But when you read Matthew, guess what? They came to a house and saw a young child. Have you ever read that? Typical men. They got lost. They didn't ask no directions. They didn't follow the GPS. They were most probably were wandering around. Maybe typical men, they were like, what can we bring this baby? You know, it's a baby shower. We've got to bring something. Typical men, it's for the skirmes. It's the first thing we can. Oh, batteries. We'll take batteries. Well, you grab the first thing, maybe it's half a sheep, you don't know. But typical men, they were late. But eventually when they got there, when you read Matthew, you'll see, and they rejoiced. When they saw this baby, the birth of Jesus, when they saw this young child, they literally fell to their feet, the Bible teaches, and they worshipped him. You see, there was a baby shower moment where the scriptures said there will come a day. It's an expectation of something still to come. But then there came a moment where the birth took place and they literally went there and they literally saw the baby to the point where they fell and worshiped at his feet. What follows after that? Celebration. You see, when you read in the Word of God in Matthew and Luke, you'll see that the angels literally went and they sang songs in his presence. The angels sang songs in the presence of Jesus when he was born. It's a celebration. The wise men fell to their feet and they joyously and with exceeding joy, some scriptures teach, they worshiped him. They celebrated. See, but then what I want to get to is the following. See, Matthew 2 verse 11 says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him joyously. Then they opened their treasures, and presented him with gifts. And you know this most probably, of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. three gifts. Now, when I read this, I'm like, dude, wat's 'n maandag op met die mes vir 'n baba? Wat's 'n maandag op met Hot Wheels en die baby is 3 dae oud? We are so typical in some things, some of us. We don't think and think through the things and the process of the moment. And it seems like these wise men found themselves in that exact position. Because why will you bring gold and frankincense and myrrh to a baby? See, my mind goes like, ek wie nie gee hom 'n kameel dat hy met hom kan slaap and soft toy and give him diapers. Give him formula, give him milk, give him a goat that he has milk, give him something that is suitable for a little baby. But they come and they give gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So I did a study. Who's got gold on their finger right now? Maybe gold on their ears. Who's got gold around their necks right now? Let's go there. Who's got gold in their teeth? All the young men, sir. You see, gold is one of those elements, one of those metals in our earth, literally inside of our earth, on this planet right now, that is real. That is so durable when it comes to the exposure of other elements and air. It never withers. It never dissolves because it's gold. There's actually a teaching about gold that says it is strong against corruption. It's literally the word. Gold is strong and firm against corruption. It does not corrupt easily. Did you know that gold also, in a form, are soft? It's soft metal. Yet it's firm. Because I tell you, I've held the gold brick once. It's solid, yet it's soft. But another thing about gold is, it's like the lights. When you go into a mine and it's dark and you take a light or a torch and you shine it, the gold will reflect the light and you will see it. But there's something else about gold, and you and I know it well. You pay a lot of money for it. Why? It's valuable. Gold's got so much value, it's insane. When you do a study from the beginning of time, you will see that gold actually holds its value throughout the generations of history. See, in the Bible times, they never had money. It wasn't about rands and dollars. It was about gold and then the sister metal, silver. If you had gold, you were rich. If you had a lot of gold, you most probably were seen as a royal. You were either king or a prince or a princess. See, gold is not just a metal that was thrown at the baby's feet in that moment. It wasn't the wise men having no clue what to bring. When they went with gold and frankincense and myrrh, they went intentionally. Because they knew that gold, and get this, firstly, is a metal and something which is worthy of God Himself. Now you go like, what does that even mean? It means this, that God favors gold. God loves gold. God feels that gold is good enough for Him. It's almost godly. I want you to make a note of Revelations 21. See, Revelations 21 states this, that the streets of the holy city, that's heaven, has streets of gold as pure as glass. See, when God the Father is saying, I'm preparing a place in heaven, He's saying that that place has streets, paaie wat gemaak is van goud. See, gold is worthy of God's presence. It's not just gold. The wise men acted wisely when they pitched up by that manger in that house and they presented gold to this baby. Because they realized that it is good enough for God Himself. Second thing I want to throw out there is, it's a metal fit for kings. Now you need to get this. This is insane. If you study Exodus 25, you'll see that the Ark of the Covenant was constructed with gold. The temple itself was constructed with gold. And then King Solomon himself built his whole temple with gold. And guess what? The study of that the study of his temple, the amount of gold that this earthly king was worthy for and used for his own temple was $144 billion worth of gold. One guy, one temple on this planet, this earth. Do you have any idea how much money $144 million are? You can go to Google and translate that to rands, dude, and 70 is all they can say. It's insane. You see, but that earthly king, the people around him, his city, his people, his followers, the people around him found him worthy as a king and therefore brought him gold. Because gold is worthy for a king. See, Jesus in that day wasn't just a baby. Jesus in that moment wasn't just a newborn, wasn't just a woman's son, wasn't just the announcement of a birth coming through the verses of a Moses. It was a king who was born in that moment. And when the wise men rocked up and pitched up in that moment, they said, we are all away and well away with our old being, everything of ourselves. We bring you gold because we know you are the king. That's why it wasn't birthday cake. It wasn't balloons and it wasn't a camel. It wasn't money and riches. It was gold where they fell at his feet and started worshiping with the song of angels in their midst. And they said, you are the King of Kings. Here's the gold. For you reflect light. For you are valuable. And that's the third thing. See, Jesus is valuable. He's so valuable that his Father in heaven said, I will sacrifice my only son so that everyone else can live and have the opportunity to eternal life if they choose so. You are valuable, Jesus, as you are a baby. You are valuable. And then guess what? Because he's valuable, he came into our lives and he sacrificed himself years later as a perfect sacrifice, as the only son of God. And then guess what? He bought us at a price. You see, gold was in that day something people traded for commodities, for possessions, for riches. They traded gold. See, God the Father intended for gold to be the first gift because he knew that Jesus will be like the gold that's going to buy us our freedom and salvation. That's why it wasn't a soft toy. That's why that baby shower preparation was poor. That's why the people even came late to that birth. Because in that moment when the wise men rocked up, not at the birth, but the celebration of the birth, when they gave that gold, they said, here's a king. Above all kings. In our day and time, gold is known as the symbol of love. So many rings are made daily because there's engagements around the corner. There's a wedding around the corner. Because gold is a symbol of love. See, when God himself intended his son to be born into this world, to sacrifice himself one day, when the gold showed up as a gift, was God going like, this is the greatest love of all, when someone will lay down their lives for their friends. See, Jesus calls us friends. He knew that day, there's a day ahead where he will pay the ultimate price and buy us with value. See, gold is not just a commodity that was thrown around. When the wise men came with a gift, it was intentional. Psalm 2, and when you study Psalm 2, you will see that this very moment is captured in this psalm from beginning to end. The first three verses is humanity who rage and rebel against everything on this planet. Everything God wants, they are against it. They turn against it. They rage in their hearts and their deeds. Others rebels. They rebel. But then There's God, He speaks into this moment. And then there's Jesus who speaks into this very moment and says, I am coming as a king. And then there's a Holy Spirit in the last three verses of Psalm 2 that says, you are not alone in this. Jesus is coming, but I will guide you through it. See, in this Christmas silly season, as people call it, there's actually something we can give that is worth much more than gold and presents and scarboat and bock articles. See, as Jesus paid the price for you and me so that we can have life and that internally, we can actually give back our lives and say, Jesus, take it all. That is placing the gold at the feet of a one true king. Because guess what? Maakie saak wat julle glo en ek glo nie. He deserves the gold of our lives. He deserves the purest of the pure. That's why it was this teenage girl, because she was pure, not only in her physical being, but in her spirit and mind. She was pure. God chose her for that reason. Her life was the gold placed at God's feet. See, the baby shower is done in history. The birth took place. Now it's time for the celebration where you and your life should bring the gold you can give, your every bit of yourself, and place it at the feet of Jesus, who's no longer a baby, who's not dead but alive in this world, for He is the King of Kings. Therefore, the wise men gave gold because it's fit for a king. I've read this verse where it states that the kingdoms will be given unto Him. Have you ever read Matthew? Matthew has an awesome scripture in 28. It says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. He is a king. He does not deserve your silver. He does not deserve your copper. He does not deserve the scraps of whatever is left like last week's clip. He deserves the purest and the most valuable gold you can give. It's above and beyond money. It's wise men bringing their everything, their treasures, not their belongings, their treasures, placing it at their feet. That. See, this Christmas time, you can give more than attending a Christmas service. You can actually give your heart. At this time, in silly season, instead of going out and spending millions on stuff that people will throw in a cupboard, you can go into His kingdom and be effective as His body. You can fall at His feet and in praise and worship, you can kneel down with a humble heart that is as pure as gold and more valuable than any commodity on this planet, because you are entering the presence of a king. There's a reason why gold was first. You and I, we need to realize on this day that He's the king. Hy's die koning. My question this day is, what is Christmas about for you? Because I tell you on this day, for the wise men, it was about the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. It was about a king. So you can pitch your Christmas tree. You can pitch your Christmas gifts under it. It's fine. You can celebrate with scarboat and articles. It's fine. But is your heart that humble heart of this teenage girl who was chosen because of her heart being gold? Because she gave gold. That the Spirit may be speaking to your heart. Were you led in your mind through a wise man bringing a gift of gold? You see what Christmas is really about. It's around the corner. Do you see where it needs to start? It needs to start with us and our hearts and minds realizing and declaring first of all, Jesus, You're the true King. You cannot carry on with your own plans. You cannot keep on lying. You cannot move into places of addiction anymore. You cannot get out of the hole that is as dark as mines by yourself. You cannot forgive yourself and save your soul. You cannot deliver yourself from every hurt and word spoken without Jesus being the king of your life. You cannot. You cannot change by yourself without the Spirit touching your heart. You will never understand things like true worship, like we just had in praise and worship, if the Spirit doesn't go into that place and the gold is revealed out of darkness. You cannot. You will walk out of churches weekly and be frustrated. You will tell people they are crazy. You will walk out of sermons and go like, it does not make sense. Because maybe we need to start with the gold first. See, when God is your king, certain things shine bright. Because gold reflects. What's in your heart, church? What is in your life? Because the truth of the matter is there's one king. One who rules. One with all authority on heaven and on this planet. One. No matter what you believe, he is. Are you with him or without him? Is it the tree or the gold? My desire is that every heart should be freed. My begeerte is dat elke persoon in 'n oomblik soos nou wat verby is, kan voel. Elke persoon kan weet. Without anyone even saying anything, you just know. And that changes you, I can testify. Jy gaan staan en huil nie, weet nie hoekom nie, en dan staan jy maar ek muscles, I don't care. Just like, hoe mooi is 'n man met muscles wat huil, huh? At them, I mean, that's heavy handsome. Hoor ek, blykbaar. Partykeer fake ek so traan net vir somme, you know. But the truth is, you need God. I need Jesus as my king. You need Jesus as your king in a lot of things of your life, and you know it. But it takes bowing down and worship like angels and placing gold at his feet. You know what's gold for him? Your soul. You know what's gold for him? You're giving over. You're relying totally. Lord, I'm the servant, whatever you will. Ag mense wonder, want ek's a virgin, en hulle gaan sê, ons is nie getroud nie, hulle gaan wonder, Here, U is besig met iets, I'm your servant, if that's your will, yeah, that is gold. Maybe it's time this morning that some of you bring the gold. Is it okay if we pray? Can we close our eyes as a family? And maybe in this morning, the Spirit spoke into your heart, where you realize once again, it's not the tree, but maybe the gold I need to bring. You are invited to this party and celebration. Jesus says, just accept me, then I'm yours. The party invite stands. The birth took place. It's now that place of celebration where you accept. And you go like, change me, Lord. All helix is a man made muscles. I don't care. Change me. Change my circumstances. Verander my werk. Gaan ek môre nog 'n werk hê vir ander al daai goedjies? Gaan my siel weet môre ek is gered? Change that, speak into that. Maybe you're just tired of the struggle that is constant. Maybe you're so overwhelmed by the anxiety in this day. Maybe fear is growing within your heart as you breathe. Maybe the uncertainty of tomorrow is so overwhelming you want to just exit life. All I want to ask you is the gold is given from God. If you accept Him, He opens His arms and welcomes you with love and mercy. No questions asked. But you've got to give your gold to Him as well. There's no place for egos. He doesn't care about it. Vet, lelik, mooi, dom. He doesn't care. So every eye closed, I'm going to pray with you. And if you want to say, Jesus, that's me. I want to bring my gold in this day. Just lift your hand where you sit. No need for running forward. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with your heart and your soul. So, Father, with hands lifted on high, Lord, hearts directed unto you, and this day we come and we say first, thank you for being God. Thank you, God, the Father, for sending your only Son as the offering of gold into our lives, that we are bought with a price that is valuable and continuing in growth and value. Thank you that we are free in that. So, Father, we come right now and we pray that you will forgive us our sins, every hand lifted on high, every heart that heard you speak in this day. Lord, no more of us, no more our plans. We give over the anxiety. We give over the fear. We give over this demon in us that chases us. We give all of that over. And we say, Lord Jesus, be our King in this day. In this day we declare that you are the one true King. You are the King of kings. You are above all. You are the banner over us. You are the one who leads. You are the one who protects. You are the one who heals and sets free. Father, you take us out of pits of darkness. You place us, Father, in places where we reflect you as gold. So, Lord, humbly we place our lives at your feet. Here nederig, sê ons hier is die goud. Alles wat ons is, gee ons vandag. And we pray, Holy Spirit, move. We pray, Holy Spirit, strengthen. We pray, Holy Spirit, guide. We pray that you will be God in our lives in every second of every day. So no silly season, Father, just us bringing a sacrifice and a treasure and a gift of gold. Us. Me, this church. So receive it, God. Receive it through your grace and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.